Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. So before we go into our broadcast for this evening, let us go to God in a word of prayer that we may thank Him for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts to be at this point in time on this broadcast. And we are prepared now to proclaim another portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners on this evening. We pray that they will consider their eternal stance before you if they've yet rendered obedience to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for the love that you've had toward us and that you was willing to send your only begotten Son. And Father, we recognize without his precious sacrifice on that cruel cross of Calvary that we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast, I have a special guest speaker, Orpheus Hayward, and he has not checked in with me yet. So once he check in, we will get him on the air. So I would just hope I give him a few more minutes to check in, and we will start the show. I'm going to play a song, and after this song, hopefully he would have checked in. If not, I'll just continue on with the broadcast. I want to thank you all for joining us on What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Open your Bibles now and open your minds. Let's see what God has to say on today's broadcast. God bless you, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise.
You get on your knees and praise him right now. When he speaks, you need to listen. Even if you're dead broke, you gotta pay attention. Amen. Nothing would ever come between us. Thank you, God, for giving us Jesus.
Main.
Sit down. Let me talk to you.
No shelter can be found.
It's been a while, but I know trouble's been in your life. The devil's trying to mess with you.
After a while.
But God's trying to bless you.
Situations may cause you to question faith.
I know you cry and you worry.
Tears streaming down your face.
But we came to take you to hold on.
Hold on.
Dry your eyes.
And run the race.
I'm a believer.
Jesus still delivers.
I remember when I was right there.
This is what I had to do.
I called on Jesus.
I prayed. I called on him.
I thought I had nothing to fear.
I wasn't worried.
That's why I stopped by here to tell you. I need another witness. Come on.
You go through the dark, the new nature. They say they done all they could. But don't worry about it. Give it to God. That loved one has left and ain't gonna move
on.
Seems like all your happiness is gone. But you can't let that keep you from pressing on. Hey,
I love this.
Because I've read it that we've said it endures for a night. But remember that joy, it comes with morning light. So no matter the troubles you face, you can go ahead and lift your hands and give God the praise. Ooh, praise Him through all. All your pain.
Just remember,
because I remember.
Then you tell Him what to me.
I remember what He did.
I was right where you are.
So I know what He can do.
You're gonna have a sure enough testimony when God gets through with you. Oh yeah.
I just need one believer who can praise God. ahead of time. Is there someone listening that can praise God in the midst, in the midst, in the midst, in the midst, go home? No matter what it looks like, no matter how it seems, you can go on. You may have been crying all night long, but God has it all in control, go on. This isn't the first time you've been here. You know what God can do. Sometimes you just gotta praise away from the Lord. God has power in the palm of his hand. He wants to use it in your life. He wants to work a miracle through you. So go ahead and claim your victory. Go ahead and claim your blessing.
That for those who love God, all things work together for good. For you, who are called according to his purpose. It's all right.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. And on the broadcast this evening, I have a special guest speaker. His name is Orpheus Hayward, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Orpheus, it's all yours. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast, my brother.
It's certainly good to be here and grateful to be on the show, and I'm thankful to have an opportunity to give a word that hopefully will be a great encouragement to somebody who may be seeking to know Jesus Christ and to know him as personal Savior. The thought that I plan to give on tonight is from a passage called, passage Romans 6 and verse number 17, and the verse penned by the Apostle Paul in this great didactic epistle that we call the Book of Romans. The text says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." I want to take a few minutes to speak to you from that great passage, and I hope and pray that something will be said that will resonate with your heart from the West End Church of Christ. And certainly grateful to be on the line tonight. And I've been at this meeting for several years now, and we are in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are appreciative of doing the work of the Lord. From this text, Romans 6:17, I want to establish a subject, the pattern of New Testament salvation. Many people who are seeking to know the Lord and seeking to be saved from sin many times do not understand that salvation is according to a revealed pattern in the Bible, the Word of God, and in particular, the New Testament. But I believe that the Apostle Paul makes quite clear in Romans 6:17 that salvation is according to a pattern. When the Apostle Paul says, "But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine," the word form comes from an original Greek term. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek, and the word here is the word tupos. And the word tupos can be translated pattern or even a standard. And so when we're talking about the idea of a pattern, it comes from the idea of a form. And that is how the King James Version translated that form of doctrine or that pattern of doctrine. And the idea of a pattern suggests a standard. And that simply suggests that when we're speaking about salvation from sin, salvation is according to a pattern. And it's important to understand that we are not saved separate and apart from submission to the revealed pattern in the Bible, the Word of God. What Paul does in this great epistle that we call the Book of Romans is that he establishes his theme in chapter 1, which I believe to be the righteousness of God. And in particular, the Apostle Paul wants to teach us that righteousness is received through the gospel of Jesus Christ. His thesis statement in chapter 1 and verse number 16 is, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so the Apostle Paul thematically is teaching us that the righteousness of God is contacted, is received by means of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul talks about the righteousness of God, he is not necessarily talking about the attribute of righteousness, but he is talking about the means by which God puts a man in right standing with himself. The Jews were ignorant of the righteousness of God, not as attribute, but ignorant of the process or the means by which God places a man back in right standing with himself. This ignorance is spoken about in Romans, the 10th chapter, where the Bible says, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved, for they have a zeal of God, but it is not according to knowledge. For they have gone about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. And then he goes on in Romans 10:4 to say, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What you will notice in Romans 10:1-4 is that the Jews who had not accepted Jesus had not accepted or had not submitted to the righteousness of God, which means the righteousness of God is not just God's attribute, but it is that which man must submit to. We must submit to the righteousness of God, which is simply to suggest we must submit to the means by which God puts a man in right standing with himself. Now, that being the case, Paul says that God, upon obeying the right pattern of doctrine, we are made free from sin and we become the servants of righteousness. So in essence, God frees me from slavery to sin, and he places me into a slavery to righteousness. Ultimately, the context of Romans 6 would be an articulation of moving from slavery to slavery. That is, I'm being freed from one slavery, that is slavery to sin, and I'm being put into a slavery to righteousness. So he says once again, but God be thanked, you were the sons of you obeyed from the heart that form, that pattern, that standard of doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching, and being then made free from sin. We're made free from sin. You become a slave or a servant of righteousness. Now, Paul articulates what that pattern looks like and how that pattern is reenacted in Romans 6, the first six verses. The Apostle Paul says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin keep living any longer in it? Know you not? So many of us, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, so that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. So the Apostle Paul begins to show us the pattern by which we move from slavery to sin, to slavery to righteousness. That pattern is the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, that death, burial, and resurrection is reenacted in the process of water baptism. So Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin keep living any longer in it? And then explains how a man dies to sin, then when he is baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. So baptism is to be immersed in water, and when one is immersed in water, he is then unified with Jesus Christ. He's baptized spiritually into Christ, where Christ and the believer has a union that is established by God. So I am baptized into Christ and simultaneously baptized into union with his death. And that is simply the benefit of the death of Christ Jesus. I'm baptized into union with the benefits of Jesus Christ. And when I'm baptized into Christ, not only am I baptized into death, but just like Jesus was risen from dead, I am risen from sin to walk in the newness of life. And so it is through the pattern of the death, burial, and resurrection that one contacts the righteousness of God. And so in verses 1 through 4, we find Paul articulating how one dies to sin. And then we find in verse 17, he tells us that we were made free from sin. And so it is through baptism, through the reenactment and recapitulation of the death, burial, and resurrection, that one contacts the righteousness of God. He is freed from sin, and of course, he is then he is made a slave of righteousness. And so we hope and pray that someone listening on tonight can be clear that baptism is important in the salvation process, because it is through baptism that one contacts the newness of life. It is through baptism that we reenact the death, burial, and resurrection. It is through baptism that we are obeying that form, that pattern of doctrine. And so we're hoping tonight that somebody listening may say, today is my day. Today is my day to obey the pattern of New Testament salvation. To be clear, no one is saved by praying about it. No one is saved by necessarily feeling it. But salvation is received through a conscious submission to a specific pattern of teaching. And that pattern of teaching is the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And so I hope tonight this nugget, this thought, this moment to articulate to you the pattern of salvation has been clear to you. And I hope and pray that this lesson will resonate with you as you continue to seek the Lord and as you continue to be a student of the Bible, the Word of God. I hand this back over to Brother Stevie Butler, and I certainly appreciate his invitation.
Cool inside, so cool inside. Don't you want to go where it's cool inside? Dum 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 dum.
streets are shining and pleasing to your eyes, built by none other than our God on high. Yeah, the skies are beautiful and they're clear as can be. There is no better place to be young and free. Well, hell is just a fiery old place. You can imagine the looks on the people's face. If you could see, you could see, you could see all the agony. Because there no one will hear your begging plea. Once in eternity, we'll always cry, cry. When life is so much easier up in heaven. Oh, because it's been done. Yeah, yeah. Heaven is cool. Heaven is so cool. There's a cool breeze blowing, yeah. Sun is always shining. Ain't gonna be no. No more heartaches and no fears. Trouble all over. Trouble all over. When we see Jesus, we'll have a big celebration and send invitations to all our friends and relations. We'll have a ball, and our hearts will be as one. Oh, let's wait and see.
Yeah, I say to myself, heaven. A wonderful world. Heaven's a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I just want to thank my special guest speaker, Orpheus Haywood. He is the evangelist from the West End Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. I just want to show him my appreciation for coming on the broadcast and bringing that fine word. Ladies and gentlemen, after this song, when we come back on the other side of the break, I'll be bringing you a lesson in the second broadcast, or the second segment, rather, of this show. Thank you for listening to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Essentials for Christian unity. To the casual observer, ladies and gentlemen, it may not be readily discernible that unity and unions are similar, but not exactly the same. Union is defined as a combining or a joining or a grouping together, while unity is defined as oneness, harmony, or agreement. And from these definitions, it seems clear that a union can exist without there being unity. Over the past 35 or so years, I have observed groups of Christians, unions, who refer to themselves as churches of Christ, that did not possess the unity of the Spirit, or the oneness that can only come from God. Sadly, they eventually experienced division or apostasy that resulted from a failure to be united based upon the teachings of the Spirit. The scenario that I have just described has occurred over and over again throughout the history of the Lord's church. Could these divisions have been avoided? And of course, the obvious answer is a resounding yes. If it were not possible to avoid such division, Jesus would not have prayed for oneness among believers as he did in John 17, verses 20 and 22. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what I preached on at the West Fayetteville Church of Christ on this past Sunday, the oneness of the Church of Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, our Lord says, I do not pray for these alone in John 17. He says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And he says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. If it were not possible, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul would not have pleaded with the saints at Corinth, the brethren there, to avoid divisions as he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, watch this now, and in the same judgment. What then is necessary in order to avoid division? That is the question. Ladies and gentlemen, although it is important for Christians to be joined together as a congregation or a union, this alone will not prevent division. A church that desires to remain united must be characterized by oneness, by harmony, and agreement. For this reason, the Apostle Paul pleads for Christians to be perfectly joined together, Paul says, in the same mind and in the same judgment. Furthermore, he says he beseeched Christians to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, having a spirit of lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, and love is a prerequisite to keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. This is what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Christians gain and maintain the unity of the Spirit by walking in harmony with the teaching of the Spirit. For the diligent student of the Bible, a lesson about unity or oneness would be incomplete without considering the seven ones of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And this is what we want to look at. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one body, which is the church of our Lord, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. In order to keep the unity of the Spirit, the one body must be characterized by harmony and agreement relative to doctrine and practice. In 2 John 9, John points out that whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But John says he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Any church, ladies and gentlemen, that desires to keep the unity of the Spirit must abide in the doctrine of Christ. And conversely, any religious group that does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not possess unity of the Spirit and is not the one body spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. We must accept the fact that there is only one body before there can be true unity. There is one Spirit which provides guidance for the one body. God cannot lie, ladies and gentlemen, and is not the author of confusion. Chapter 1, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33. Therefore, guidance that is not in harmony with the doctrine of Christ, false doctrine, cannot provide true unity, which points out the need to test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. We must accept the fact that there is only one Spirit before there can be true unity. Ladies and gentlemen, after we come back from the break, I will conclude this lesson.
I believe that my God's the Creator. I believe that my God is a healer. I believe that my God reigns on high. I believe that my God is almighty. I believe that my God truly loves me. I believe that my God is alive.
Oh, oh, oh. Before these days, they just don't have the faith, saying things like, my God is not real.
I know you'll be alone.
Oh, all right. Lord, they'd rather turn to men's ways, living how they want, like it's gonna be okay.
Oh, no,
they don't understand that they're losing their soul.
Deep in sin.
That's why I
wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
Wake up and pray up.
Pray up, Lord.
Lord, you're better than both.
So good, so good.
I believe in you.
I believe in you. Should believe it, but Lord, I can't see the air that I breathe. No, no. And they say that you didn't make man that day, that we come from some kind of ape. But Lord, I don't believe a word that they say, Lord. Oh, that's why I
wake up. Pray up,
pray up, Lord.
Lord,
yeah,
you're better than foes.
So good, so good.
I believe in you.
I believe,
I believe,
I believe. Oh,
hold on,
hold on.
With you,
yeah.
Lord, I stay strong,
so strong.
Yeah, that's why I pray long,
pray long.
I
believe that my God's the creator. I believe that my God is a healer. I believe that my God reigns on high.
On high. On high.
I believe that my God is almighty. I believe that my God truly loves me.
Oh, he loves me.
I believe that my God is alive.
He's alive. Yes, he is.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. in order to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul speaks about preaching the gospel of Christ in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And in the same context of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul indicated that he preached the faith. Thus, the one faith is the unperverted gospel, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8, of Jesus preached by Paul and the other apostles. We must accept the fact that there is only one faith before there can be true Christian unity. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Paul says in that text that there is one baptism. There is one baptism. Although there are several baptisms mentioned in the New Testament, the one baptism associated with Christianity is immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ in order to receive the remission of sins. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38, and Acts chapter 8, verses 38, and Acts 22 and verse 16. Since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, no other baptism has been acceptable to God as implied in Acts 19, verses 3 through 5. And the same should be true for everyone who desires the unity of the Spirit. We must accept the fact that there is one baptism before there can be true unity. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Paul tells us in that text, Ephesians 4 and verse 4 through 6, that there is one God and Father of all. For Christians, there is only one God, the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. The religious world in general worships many gods. Just look at Islam. We must accept the fact that there is only one God before there can be true unity. There are many religious groups who have unions today, but who still bear the name Church of Christ, but do not keep the unity of the Spirit. They seek to fellowship the denominational world by claiming that the only test of fellowship is belief in the deity of Christ. In an effort to support their claim, they promote the idea that abiding in the doctrine of Christ in 2 John 9 actually refers to the doctrine about Christ and not the doctrine from Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I continue to believe that the Bible provides its own best commentary about the doctrine that we should follow. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we are advised that the Christians who continued in fellowship continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Since Jesus stated that the Spirit would bring to the apostles' memory of all that he has said in John 14 and verse 26 and guide them unto all truth in John 16 and verse 13, it seems reasonable that we should continue in the apostles' doctrine also. So in conclusion of this lesson this evening, in summary, Paul beseeches the Ephesian brethren to walk worthy of their calling and to keep the unity of the Spirit. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul beseeched them because he was speaking for Christ, who expected them and us to follow his instructions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, what we have been talking about in this lesson this evening on this broadcast, Paul lists the 7 points of unity that we must accept if we desire to keep the unity of the Spirit. In the religious world of today, ladies and gentlemen, there are hundreds of different faiths that we could choose from, but in choosing between the various denominations or the unions without the unity of the Spirit, we ignore God's demand for unity of the Spirit in the one body. Do we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ, our Lord, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Relative to the doctrine and practices of the Lord's church, there can be no unity in diversity. Amen. And thank you for listening. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
You have long for
listening to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. On this segment of the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, I just have a few thoughts for your consideration. And that is, has God predestined us for salvation? And I have taken this lesson from my evangelist, Wayne Seaton's desk, by the way. And Wayne should be on the broadcast in about 2 weeks. I have him as a special guest speaker on the show. Certainly looking forward to having him on the broadcast. But on this lesson, we want to deal with what it takes to become a Christian. We will begin with, has God predestined you for salvation? And this beginning is necessary in my mind because of the majority in the religious world who believe some form of Calvinism. And Calvinism starts with an erroneous concept and builds logically on that false premise. And that premise is that if God is ruler and sovereign, then man cannot say no to his creator. Therefore, God must predetermine those who are saved and those who are lost. This teaching, ladies and gentlemen, is contrary to the teachings of God. What is God's desire for all men? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, verse 4, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If God's desire is for all men to be saved, then should not an intelligent, caring God make the message clear enough for all men to know it? Should it not be important enough for all men to seek after God's will? Our eternal souls depend upon it. We will look at each step individually and see what God expects of us in order to receive the blessings of remission of sins promised in the world through Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Ladies and gentlemen, many people want to start with faith in Christ Jesus because they believe in the Calvinism, which teach that faith is supernaturally given by God only to those who he has individually selected or predestined for salvation. This concept, ladies and gentlemen, is nowhere found in the Word of God, but is the teaching of men which most of the religious world has accepted as the gospel. This concept makes God responsible for all who are lost and makes the inspired teaching of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, as mentioned above in this lesson, a lie. Man is a free mortal agent with the freedom of choice. Man can choose to believe, or he can choose to disbelieve. Man can choose to obey, or he can choose to disobey. The only thing that God has chosen or predestined is that those in the church are those who are going to be saved, and those outside the Lord's church will be lost. Each one individually can determine which group he falls in based on what he does about the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestows on us in the beloved. Ladies and gentlemen, as we've shown, God's desire is for all men to be saved. However, Jesus said that all men will not be saved. There are few that are actually saved. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leadeth to destruction. And there are many who enter through it." Verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leadeth to life, and there are few who find it." You see that? So how can we reconcile this dilemma? God wants all to be saved, but only a few will be saved. Well, the proper understanding of Ephesians chapter 1 clears up that misconception for us. Listen, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? God predestined that all who are in Christ Jesus would be in his church and go to heaven. The opposite of that is equally true. God predestined that all outside of Christ and his church are lost and will spend an eternity in hell. Further, the Apostle Paul tells us through the young evangelist Timothy that the only place we have access to the grace of salvation is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." And then he says in verse 10, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Ladies and gentlemen, if salvation is in Christ through the gospel, how does one get into Christ? Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29 gives us the answer. Paul says, "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Watch this now. "For as all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the scriptural concept of predestination found in the Word of God. God has predetermined from before the foundation of the world that only those of us who are in Christ will be in his church and be saved and are assured of a home in heaven. Can you afford to do nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, can you afford to put this decision off another day? Thank you for listening. Now, see you on the other side of the break.
Lord, I need a blessing. Lord, Lord, I need a blessing. Oh Lord, I need a blessing. Lord, I need a blessing.
Come on and
bless me. I need a blessing. Bless me. I need a blessing. Lord, I need a blessing. Lord, I need a blessing.
I need you, Lord.
I need a blessing.
Bless me, Lord.
I need a blessing.
Come on,
bless me.
God knows. And I just want to extend unto you the Lord's invitation. So if you have not done so, that you will make it your business to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Because I believe as a Christian, we all have a responsibility to sow the seed of the kingdom. And I'm trying to do my part to glorify God. If you are not a child of God, ladies and gentlemen, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And also in James chapter 2 and verse 24. You must repent. Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian and for whatever reason you have fallen away from the Lord and you're no longer faithful, then you can repent and pray. Acts chapter 8, and verse 22. And I want to invite you to visit the Churches of Christ in your local area. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
When God said no, and we won't listen to the
age, just remember,
don't forget.
I remember, God, I know,
God,
what's best.
Yeah,
my
God,
he knows
what's
best. Late in the midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. My hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him, my child. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand it. He said, don't forget, just trust your Father, 'cause he knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows, no matter what you're going through, trust in God, 'cause
he knows,
Father knows. Started to feel a little better, 'cause he started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. how we pray to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said he went to his best friend, and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt.
I trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no.
He
is not. Get the call.
And I never get the call.
And you prayed
yes,
for that sick loved one, and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried and you feel there's nothing left, just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, he knows. Yes,
he knows.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with me on this evening. And I want to thank my special guest speaker, Orpheus Hayward. He's the evangelist for the West End Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. And he gave us a great word from the Lord. I want to thank all of our brethren who are making their way through this broadcast and proclaiming a portion of God's word. I really do appreciate them stopping through. Ladies and gentlemen, I just pray that the lessons that have been presented on this broadcast on this evening has been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened by you listening. And I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives. Until we meet again, Lord say so, on next Tuesday evening, God bless you, and may bless you real, real good. Good night, everybody.
Say yeah. There's no better state to be in. Say yeah. Say yeah. There's no better state to be in. Say yeah.
I confess, I feel somewhat guilty in my happiness. There's a bubbling spirit in me. Some wonder how can he smile?
Joy. Fall.
How he
God
reached into the darkest black and found me.
Oh,
I don't know, but I'm impressed. I guess that's why I smile.
I smile.
I smile because I'm saying.
There's no better state to be in.
Oh, oh,
oh. Say yay, yay.
Cause I
say yay,
say.
There's no better state to be in.
Oh, oh, oh.
Say yay, yay.
I don't know
God,
what the afterlife for me really holds, but one thing I know for sure, I'd rather be there instead.
Gonna be near God. Gonna be
heard the word. Melt into my heart and I obey the word. When I do that day and do, I'll make fine heaven my stay. The bread.
There's no better state.
In the world, my life went so lonely. answer, answer.